All right. Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to this edition of Bible News Radio. I am Stacy Lynn Harp, your sweet and lovable host, coming to you live here. Well, actually, I'm not live. I am live, but here I am. I'm here. This is my last individual show that I will be recording for Bible News Radio. And so, I'm feeling a little bit emotional this morning as I record this, and we're going to be not only posting this show today, but I'm also going to be posting my last episode that I recorded with my husband a couple weeks ago. But this is genuinely the last recorded show that I'm doing by myself. And as I have thought about how to end Bible News Radio, it's been kind of tough because who I am is this show, right? I mean, in large part, who I am has been Bible News Radio. I don't look at the world like normal people do. I look at the news, I look at the Bible. I think through things. I think about ways I can teach people. I think about what God's teaching me and what He's taught me through 18 and a half years of doing a show. And so I can't really say goodbye, and I'm not going to. I refuse absolutely 100% to say goodbye because I want to leave the door open for any future Bible News Radio shows that I might possibly record should a need arise in the future. But for now, I really do believe the Lord has called me to leave this podcast as a consistent thing that we've been doing for so long, and move towards coaching, biblical coaching, Christian life coaching, trauma-informed coaching, and use the skills that He's given me to help people in a more direct one-on-one way. So part of what I want you to know is that in the works right now, for next year in 2024, and by the way, I'm recording this September 8th, 2023, which is a Friday. But part of the vision for next year is for me to launch a coaching podcast. And I don't have any other details except that I plan on having a young lady who's a good friend of mine. Her daughter, it's her daughter. She's in her mid-20s. And at this point, right now, as I record this, our plan is to do a show together where she will talk about social media and I will talk about coaching. And I think the older generation, which would be me, I'm getting old, people. Versus the younger generation. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be fun. And we're looking to do things more structured and different things like that. For me, this show has been a heart show. And what I mean by that is I have literally put my heart into every show that I've done, whether it's been learning to interview people, or doing a one-off show where I'm talking about the news and giving you my opinion. Every show that I've done, I have done from my heart. It always makes me laugh when I think about people who do shows and they script it and they write down every single word that they're going to say, kind of like the media, right? They all have these teleprompters and everybody reads. I don't do that. I've never done that. I have never scripted a show because I can't. And I think that's part of the reason the Lord has blessed this show for so long, is because when you hear me, you're hearing me. I mean, you are literally hearing who I really am. And so one thing I wanted to say in this show is that there is no way that I can remember and thank every person who has ever blessed me in life, right? I have 18 and a half years, almost 20 years of doing this show. I have interviewed well over 1,500 guests in this time period, probably upwards of 1,700 if I were to actually sit down and look at everybody. So that's a lot of people. And every single guest, I think I've only had one guest who actually insulted me after the show. And there's always one. So, you can't be perfect, right? But I've learned so much, just from my guests. I've learned so much about faith and hope, love, and the Bible and different topics. We've covered so many different topics. We've talked about politics and so-called fringy topics, which are now making, which are now mainline. I mean, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, is now actually talking about Nephilim. I mean, come on, people. Did you ever think you'd see that coming, right? By the way, I would encourage you to go to Jack Hibbs' ministry page, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and look up Days of Deception, his last three-part series so far. I don't know if he's going to make it longer, but that three-part, anyway, that's currently up is definitely worth watching. And it's Days, D-A-Z-E-E, D-A-Z-E, not D-A-Y-S, of Deception. And he actually mentioned he's going to have a book of that same title coming out soon. So I recommend that. And I have to tell you that the very fact that we're seeing a mainline Calvary Chapel pastor talk about some of the things that we've been talking about for such a long time is just amazing to me. So I see that we're on the precipice here of something interesting. So I want to tell you that there are some people that I want to shout out. And I can't shout out everybody, like I said, but what I will say is I just want to give thanks because I know I miss somebody, and I just want you to know that if for some reason I miss you, which is highly probable, I'm going to miss somebody. It's not on purpose. It's not that you haven't meant the world to me. It's not that our relationship didn't mean anything to me. It's just simply the fact that I just have so many people that have come alongside and blessed me. So I thank some of these people in my final show with Randall, but first and foremost, I just want to read some names and just say a couple thanks. I want to thank Denise, and you know who you are. I'm not going to say last names, but Denise has been probably the longest supporter to our show. And has mentored me and nurtured me in ways that she's not even aware of. And there really is something to having an older woman take you under their wing, even if it's indirectly, and actually maybe not so indirectly, but financially she has helped support this show for almost 15 years, around there. It's been a long time. And so Denise, I love you. I already said that in the other show, but I'm going to say it again. Yes, I'm still here. So, part of me wants to edit that part out, but you know what? I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna edit it out because it's okay. Right? It's okay to be real, right? So ending this is not easy because of you people. It's all your fault, people, just so you know. But Denise, I know it's not easy for me to be going. But you know me, so you can always call. And maybe we don't agree with everything, agree on all things, but whatever. Doesn't really matter. The fact that you have been one of the best friends and supporters of this show for so long means the world to me. So there you go on that. Tracy, again, has helped financially underwrite this show and sacrificed some very precious time with me and funds, and it's just been it has really touched me deeply. And Tracy, I love you too. And then I have a couple of men. There was Sean and Mark, who shared some life stories with me and supported the show for a while. And your stories, emails, encouragements have meant so much to me because, I don't think people understand that when you're doing a show like this, you're talking into literally a microphone and not seeing anybody, and you don't know what people think. So when Sean and Mark started emailing me and sharing different things, you know what, you guys, literally you guys, you encourage me more than you know. And then there's Phyllis. Phyllis, somebody I met in Legal Shield, is a dear, dear, special person to me, and has supported our show, supported me and Randall. And one of the special ways Phyllis has ministered to me directly is by sending me cards. And, if there's one thing I can really encourage all of you to do, and that is to encourage one another, to really encourage people, to encourage people with a card or a phone call or a text, because you just don't know what people need. Which brings me to Coach Mo, who one day actually Coach Mo, who just was battling some really serious health issues. One afternoon, I had been praying about how to pay some bills. And to make a very long story short, I was praying that the Lord would bless our show with some more donors and just with some extra money, because honestly, we don't really bring in anything, really. And this one afternoon, all of a sudden, I get this donation from her. And I think it was a $100 donation. And it was literally an answer to my prayer. And I called her up, or we did Marco Polo or something, and I said, "Hey, I just want you to know that I really appreciated getting this donation from you today, because we need the help, right?" And she said to me, and forgive me, Mo, if I say this wrong, but she said something to the effect of she had been praying about who she could help, and we came to mind. And usually they support other bigger ministries, but we came to mind. And she just was obedient and decided that she would donate to us. And I tell you what, that encouraged me. And I can tell you, everybody, that you have no idea the gifts that you give, whether it's to me or any other ministry. You don't know what people who run these ministries go through, right? Especially if it's a smaller one-person ministry like this. So just coming alongside and being prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something, that's a big deal. So I want to thank Coach Mo for sharing that with me. And then there's Jeannie. Jeannie is somebody that has blessed me by sending me cardinal stuff, because I love birds. And usually at Christmas, Jeannie sends me a Christmas card or something having to do with a cardinal. And you know what? You know how cool that is to have somebody in your audience really listen to you and take the time to send you something special. I mean, that's cool. And one of the things that I've done, and it's part of who I am, is when I'm able to, I try to do that for people too, right? So Jeannie, thank you. I think of you often because I have the candle you sent me with cardinals sitting on my thing here. So that's really cool. So then I had quite a few people in my Daily Disciples Facebook group. And those of you who have not been a part of our Daily Disciples Facebook community. I have to tell you that when I launched Daily Disciples, I didn't know what the heck I was doing it for. I just wanted a place where people could come and fellowship. And it was a couple of years ago that the Lord laid on my heart to have people just read the Bible every day, right? And it was like the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Look, I want you to just have people read the Bible every day out loud in this group." I'm like, "Yeah, right. God, that's not gonna work." Yeah. Me telling God something's not gonna work is pretty funny, right? Well, I will tell you that I said okay, and so I put out the request to my text message list at the time. And lo and behold, people started messaging me. People that I didn't expect started messaging to me. And so my Daily Disciples Facebook community became a place where literally I assigned people a chapter a day to read from the Bible. And then we read it out loud. And I will tell you that we have now read the whole Bible on Facebook in that Daily Disciples Facebook group. And I don't know if you understand how significant that is, but to have a group of people, a small group really of committed disciples, take time every single day to get on Facebook Live to read a chapter from the Bible and just share a little bit from their heart about it, I think is pretty significant. We're still doing it. That ministry is still continuing and will continue as long as people will do it, you know? And I will tell you that my heart has been very touched by the people in that community. And I will also tell you that I know that the Lord has used that community to change people. So I just want to say thank you to everybody in the Daily Disciples reading team. I'm going to try to remember everybody who's read, but we had Tommy. She was in there reading for a long time. Stacy, she read for a very long time on Monday. My sister-in-law, Sandy, reads usually on Wednesday. She has been a very faithful, not only a friend, but really her sister is my sister-in-law, so she's my sister-in-law. We've known each other since high school. And I will tell you that, you know, when I needed somebody to cover me and when I was going through my sabbatical and stuff, Stacy really or Sandy really stepped in and she covered for me and she's encouraged me. Sandy also edited my book, Pickleball Faith, and has just been really supportive. If you need a positive word, Sandy will give it to you. There's Rita, who I met, and it's funny. I got to know Rita because I sent out cards to people, and a long time ago, I asked people if they wanted a card sent, if I could send a card, and she said, "Yeah," and I sensed that there was some sadness there, and now I look at Rita. She reads in our group every week on Friday, and she's just a burst of joy, and it's so nice to see that transformation. Of course, I had Pam Gillespie. She came in and read for a while, and her program with the Bible reading accountability and stuff was really supportive and kind of helped us all in that. So, you know, those are some of the people in there that have done that. We had Tom and Jerry Herb at one point reading in there, and Tom is now with the Lord. But those two, you know, were faithful when they participated in the group. We had Virginia Prodan come in, who her book, trying to think of the name of it. I can't think of the name of it at the moment, but you know, she's a pretty famous author at this point. Was persecuted for her faith. She came in for a while. She read in the group. And so the Daily Disciples group is a key group. Obviously, my husband has read in it. I've read in it. And it's just great. So to everybody in that group, I pray that God would continue to bless you in all that you do with his word. And never think for a second Never think for one second that reading God's word is a waste of time, because I can tell you, I can't share the stories or the names of the people, but I can tell you, I know for a fact that just people hearing God's word and people reading God's word in our daily disciples group has changed people's lives and even eternity in some cases. So I just have to tell you that if you're not a part of the daily disciples group and you want to get in it, on Facebook, just message me and you'll be able to, I'll let you in depending on who you are. It's a private community. And I would have to say too that Dee has recently started reading and she's been a blessing in that as well. So that's pretty cool. I want to also just, you know, bring up one of my good friends, Darren Mell, who is a man after God's own heart. I mean, this is a guy who my husband and I mentor and we fellowship with every week. Monday and Wednesday, we meet in the morning. We read the Bible together. Darren was a guest on my show. He's struggled with homosexuality in the past, and he overcame it. Him and his wife were guests on our show. And this is a man now who is a pastor and who really pursues the Lord and loves the Word of God. And I wish there was a lot more people like him. And Darren is also a pillar of our community, and just, you know, what can I say? There's just some people in your life that are there. And he's one of them. And I'm just so grateful for that. My women's group, Julie and Rachel and Leslie, our core group that we have, that we're doing, you guys, I love all of you. It's great to have you in the community and to be doing things with you. And obviously, I treasure your prayers and the financial support that you all give us. It's been really great. Of course, it would be crazy for me to forget to thank all of the publicists that I've worked with over the years. There's a lot of them. You cannot promote guests without knowing publicists. And there's tons of those. I think I've interacted with every Christian publisher under the sun, including many non-Christian publishers. And so I have a lot of connections in the publishing world, and some of you actually listen to the show. I want to shout out Helen Cook in particular from Prime Star Publicity, who has actually supported our show numerous times and connected me with some really great stuff and actually helped do publicity for my book, Pickleball Faith, and Don Otis as well, also help me to get the word out about Pickleball Faith, which, by the way, this is September 8th, and an interview that Don set up for me was aired this morning on Moody Radio, which is pretty stinking cool to think about that. I mean, it's just been great. So Helen and Don have been two of the coolest publicists I've worked with over the years. Obviously, there's women, a ton of women, in all the Bible studies that I've hosted. As a precept leader, and as just a woman who has had the blessing of leading groups, you know, I've met a lot of very cool women in this group. Karen B., I want to let you know that I have appreciated you more than you know, and I miss our time together. And I just want to let you know that spending the morning with you, it has been a delightful thing. And I just, we need to talk, okay? Just let's say that again. Shireen, Pam, you know, Mary, you know, there's just so many women. I can't even count all of you. Sherry Ellington, I have to shout Sherry out. She is the one that helped me get qualified as a precept teacher. And we've had, you know, some great conversations offline about different things, mental health and stuff. It's been great. And I know at this point you're probably going, this show's so boring. You know, all you're doing is talking about, yeah, I'm sorry. It's not that boring. Come on, people. It's not that boring. You know, have you ever, you remember when Oprah did her final episode, the 25 years she had been on the air and how she did this big gala? Well, I don't have that opportunity, right? But I will say that, you know, it's been fun. And I have a dog distracting me, so I'm going to cut that part short. So I do want to say thank you to everybody who's been in my Bible studies, and we will continue to be doing Bible studies. In fact, one of the new things that I have in my Heart Tug app that we're going to be launching in a few days is I'm going to be doing challenges inside our Heart Tug app. So if you want to do a Bible challenge, this will be me doing a little Bible readings and stuff, and then all you have to do is click on it and you'll see how it works. Just download the Heart Tug International app. You'll enjoy it. I'm not leaving ministry, guys. I'm just not doing Bible News Radio anymore. So obviously I also want to shout out my pickleball community. And everybody that supported my book. If you're a reader and you don't even play pickleball, thank you for getting my book. If you're somebody that plays pickleball, you're somebody I met in the pickleball community, I want to say thank you for that, because, you know, pickleball, you guys know, I talked a lot about it, and now look at it, right? You know, I was before my time. Yeah, I was. Derek and Sharon Gilbert, you know, it's funny. I met Darren and Sharon. They were one of the very first people that I promoted way back around 2006. And now they're in ministry with some other big name ministries. And I will tell you, Derek recently interviewed me about pickleball faith. I had probably, I think I counted 12 people or something that happened as a result of that interview. I got 12 sales, right? I mean, that's huge. Derek actually also did the opening voiceover for my show for so long. Him and Sharon have been great friends, and it was such a blessing to be able to finally meet them in Oklahoma a couple of years ago when Bob Ulmett and Gary Stearman invited me and Randall to go down and cover the Prophecy Conference. We got to do that for a few years. It was great, and it was, you know, one of the highlights for me actually in doing this show has been to be able to go in as media and interview people that I never thought I would get to, and why they asked me and nobody else, I have no idea. I will tell you, Sally Kern, many years ago, she was a representative in Oklahoma, invited me down to a wall builders conference in Texas. I was living in California at the time. I got to be one of the only media people in there. I got to meet a lot of legislators. I learned a little bit about our government and the grassroots people that run for office to make a difference. Sally and Steve, her husband, they've just been such great friends to me since then and never lost touch. And one thing about Sally is that she'll always, always tell me she's praying for me. And she really does. And it's just amazing to me. So I just think about that and I think, wow, you know, and I've got to meet some of the top prophecy experts, you know, in the world, really, David Reagan and, you know, and a whole bunch of other people who've supported us. You know, one friend though, that I met, that really is very special to me is Doug Woodward. And, you know, I've interviewed Doug numerous times. He's got a whole bunch of books that we promoted, but he's also a pillar of our community and has supported Randall and me in the show. And I have to tell you that Doug, he is a genuine sweetheart, you know, and his life is a miracle. He had a miraculous healing, but he actually also has he doesn't have part of a leg. He's quote disabled unquote, but this guy's heart, he's just so great. So Doug, if you're listening, I love you, man. It was really cool to actually meet you in person, all those years ago. It's just so cool. And I know that there's lots of other people. And I feel bad. I do want to say a shout out to Nina Kay. Nina Kay is one of our friends who donates to the show. And this is a woman who God radically saved from drugs and some other stuff. And even though she's on disability, donates a couple dollars a month to our ministry. And that to me is just, it's so humbling. It's like, you know, never think any amount you donate to a ministry isn't worth anything. You know, I think of the widows it's worth way more in some cases than people who can donate $1 million to you, which, by the way, has never happened to me, but it just means a lot to me. So, and lastly, you know, obviously, I will say a big thank you, obviously, to my husband. You know, I just celebrated 31 years of marriage to Randall K. Harp, also known as Bareface, and that's not his real name, even though I've tried to get him to change it. It's not his real name. But I've when I started the show, it was I was, like I said, had just gotten my degree. I was actually working on my master's degree at the time, and I started blogging, and next thing you know, I'm launching this show and I'm having all these ideas, and this ministry was born. I mean, it really was that weird. It was like one of these things that just, quote, happened. And it's been a fun ride. But, you know, my husband has been with me the whole time. Randall always wants to make things better than I do. I could really care. I don't really care all that much about quality, or not quality, about presentation. I'm not a big foo-foo-y presenter in my own right. You know, I'm just very casual. But my husband has this desire to make things good, right? And as a tech guy, when we did TV or when we did video, you know, he wanted to make it good, and he wanted to make the audio good. So he made sure that we got microphones. By the way, Mia Chapa, who we talked a lot about in our last show. I remember Mia actually sent us some mounts and microphones and stuff, you know, Randall just wanted to make it better. And, you know, for me, it was like, well, whatever. But I have to tell you that without Randall's diligence in producing the show and in making sure the quality and the content was presentable, it might not have been as successful as it was. And not only that, but then he added to it his biblical expertise and commentary, and he was really nice to be able to come on the show when I asked him to begin hosting a Free for All Friday show with me, because, you know, his gifting isn't like mine. He doesn't just speak off the cuff, and yet over the years he began to do that, and I've seen my husband grow tremendously in that area. And to see you all love him and appreciate him, you know, means a lot. And that coming as a couple to a microphone and sharing our lives. And really, genuinely, that's the truth, sharing our lives with you as a couple. So many of you have told us that you have appreciated us as a couple. You think about Randall and Stacy, or Stacy and Randall, or Stacy and Bareface, or whatever it is you want to call me, and Bareface. You know, that's cool. You know, we don't have children. So we don't have a heritage, you know, to leave behind to any one or two or three children. And so in some ways, Bible News Radio has been our child in that way. And so for you as our friends to listen to the show and to get to know Randall and me personally, as a couple, that means more to me than anything. And to hear that we have encouraged many of you in your marriages, that means a lot. And those of you who are single and widows and widowers, To know that you're there and that we've encouraged you too in the, in your times of loss and grief, or in your struggles to find a mate, and to just know that you're loved and accepted by us, regardless if you're married or you're single or you're widowed. You know, that to me is what the body of Christ is all about. The body is about building one another up. It's about loving one another. And I will tell you that I've had to set boundaries with some of my listeners, some people who became friends and a little overzealous with their love for us. You know, I've had to cut off. I've had to, you know, cut some people out of the fellowship, if you will. And I haven't loved doing it. I haven't loved doing that at all. But one thing I have to tell you is that if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted, number one. But also, when you do a public ministry, there is this sense from the host, when certain people try to take more from you than you can give. And it's a hard lesson, right? Or they think they have a place in your life where they can insult you and put you down and attack your character. And sadly, that has happened to me. And because of that, I've had to cut some people off, people who I think are well-meaning, but I think people who genuinely need to get some help for themselves. And so, you know, if you're in that situation, you know, just know it's okay to have boundaries with people and not put up with abuse, any type of abuse. I draw the line on that. And, you know, being almost 55 now, I'm going to tell you, 30, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have. But over time, you grow and you realize, look, you know, nobody, I don't care who it is, I don't care how much money they've donated, if they've donated at all, if you verbally assault me and you call me names and you are not open to correction and you're unethical and you lie and you steal and you cheat and stuff like that, if you are confronted and don't come to repentance, then there's no relationship with me. It's that simple. And you know what, you guys, that's a big part of why my heart has been really pulled to go back to coaching. You know, I am a trained therapist. I have a lot of years of education and training under my belt. I love doing therapy, but because of the laws and how they have changed over the years, and I saw it coming, which is why I didn't get licensed. But I got fully trained and I did a full internship in California. And I will tell you that the field now, in the Christian world in particular, they are really pushing coaching because there aren't the same restrictions on coaching and helping certain populations as there are under therapy. So I will tell you that I'm excited and I really wish I could share with you some of the people in the last 3 or 4 months that I've had to talk to and got to help. But I would tell you that, you know, there is hope in the Word of God. The number one tool for healing your mind and your heart is the Bible. To be born again means that you have received Jesus and that you believe in him, and you believe that he died for your sin, that he took your place, and that he was buried, he was raised on the third day, you know, and that he's going to come back again. To be born again is really that simple. It's basically saying, I believe what Jesus did for me, and I want to live for him now forever. And I guarantee you that if you do that, your life will change forever, your mind will be renewed, and your life will change. And for me, that's the number one thing in my life always. Since the day I got saved to this very day, my number one love is God's word, because I know the power of it, because I know where he took me and what he took me out of. You know, I was not raised by godly parents by any means, and Jesus came in and he changed my life. forever. So I did this show because of that. And I did this show to offer hope and healing to those who need hope and healing. But also to model that Christ as a believer is found everywhere in your life if you just submit to Him. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to comfort you, to convict you, to counsel you, and you stay in fellowship with people so that they and you can grow together. Christianity is not a one-person sport. Christianity is you being part of the body of Christ, and to be in the body, to be in fellowship, to be in community. And we have that. We have a genuine community here at Heart Tug International and Bible News Radio. And everybody that I've mentioned, and I know that there's many others that I probably am just forgetting at the moment. And again, I hate that because, you start naming one and you can't name everybody because you've forgotten people. But it's not on purpose, right? Just so you know. But your lives have sharpened mine. Mine has sharpened yours. I have grown as a person because of you. And the Lord put me in this position probably because He knew that I needed you. And maybe He put you where you're at because, and maybe you found our show because the Lord knew that you needed me to come into your life through the radio or podcast, whatever you want to call it, and to speak to you and to let you know that you're loved. That you can be bold in your faith and have confidence in your faith when you know what you believe in, you know why you believe it. You can be bold, you can stand up, you can speak. And that's one thing I want you all to do forever and ever is I want you to stand up. I want you to speak God's love and truth to people. Because if you don't, who will? I mean, you can only reach people. You reach people that I can't. And God has called you to a mission field, as Janet Parshall used to say, right between your own 2 feet. And by the way, she's another person I should thank because Janet, for many years, I've listened to her for 30 years, even though there was some stuff that happened in her life. I will tell you that she was the one that mentored me and encouraged me in the very beginning of this. And so I have to thank Janet and Craig Parshall for their godly influence in my life. But here's the last thing. Wherever you go with God. And don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of the gospel that's in you that changes you and that's changed you. One of my favorite verses in scripture is Psalm 68:19, which says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens." And I know that I've shared this before, but the reason that verse stood out to me so much when I was in high school is because it was a promise that He would bear your burden every single day. Every single day. And God should be blessed. He's given us the keys to live a healthy life. He told us how to think, how to act, how to be forgiven, and how to live. And more than anything, He wants that intimate relationship with you. More than anything in the world. That's why Jesus came. And of course, all of us who understand scripture in the Hebraic context in which it's written also understand the importance of Israel and that Jesus came to fulfill the messianic prophecies to Israel. And when they rejected him, that opened up a time for us, the church age. So that the gospel could go into the whole world and the gospel could be preached to the Gentiles as well. I think that time is coming to a close, and I do believe that the rapture could happen any time. And when the rapture of the church is taken up, those who are left behind are going to have a really difficult time, probably. And I think those times are coming. But for those of us who are in the faith, I think the best times are right ahead of us. And, so I'm not discouraged by what's happening in America or in the world. I look at it and I just, in light of Bible prophecy, I just think it's all coming. It's all falling into place. And we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear. In fact, Jesus said constantly to his people, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." But you know what? Here's the thing. If you are afraid, he understands. He doesn't condemn you for it, right? But I think we have a bright future. And those of us who are in Christ and who are the bride of Christ, we are going to be living with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you can't even comprehend it. And the stuff that we do here, we get to serve. We'll be serving in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years with the Lord. And then after that, all eternity. And mark my words on this, because it is God's word, that God will put, he will crush his enemies under his feet. And there will be one day, well, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But it won't be because Jesus hates people. It will be an honor to him for what he did for us when he died on the cross for us. And the future is bright for believers. It's dismal for unbelievers. So my call to you, if you're somebody listening and you're an unbeliever, I would plead with you to consider Christ, to consider his claims, to consider the Bible, to read the Bible, to call out to him to be saved, to do your due diligence and seek the truth, because God's word says that if you seek him, you will find him. God is not a cosmic bully. He didn't set us up to fail. He didn't set us up to send us to hell. But he gave us free will. And that's the interesting thing about Christianity, is that the Bible declares that mankind is made in his image. The Bible declares that God gave us a heart, a mind, and a will. That's what makes us made in God's image. Because God has a heart, a mind, and a will. After the fall, our mind and our heart and our will came under the domain of darkness and was fallen. But those who are in Christ, once we become born again, he gives us a new heart. He gives us the mind of Christ, and he gives us the will to obey him, not out of fear, but out of love. Because our God is a merciful, loving, awesome, grace-filled God. Jesus is God. And Jesus is the reason that we serve and we live. A friend of mine who I absolutely adore and love, she's my number one mentor. She's in many ways the big sister I never had, my friend Lisa. She quotes a scripture wrong to me all the time. I love her, and it kind of bothers me that she quotes it wrong, but it's her. The scripture she quotes is the scripture in Acts where it says, "In him we live and move and have our being." But the way my friend Lisa quotes it to me, she'll quote it this way. She quotes it, "In him we live and breathe and have our being." And she uses the word breathe instead of move. And I don't know why she does, but that's okay. I don't really care. Because I think the intent is correct. In Christ we live and move. In Christ we breathe. He gives us our very breath. And we have our being. And as believers, if we have the mind of Christ and we are letting the Word of God richly dwell within us, then we have victory because we're never alone. because God's word says to us in Hebrews that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. These are the promises of God to the believer. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we are not condemned. But before we're believers, we're condemned. But after we're in Christ, we are not condemned. So we have hope. We have love. And so I want to read you from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 as I end this last episode that I'm recording here of Bible News Radio. Because over on my Substack page, excuse me, I've been going through Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and I've been writing about it. And it's interesting because Ecclesiastes chapter 3 begins this way. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that the man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, than every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. Furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there. I said to myself, concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the fate of the son of man and the fate of beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust, and all return to the dust. Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth? I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And then Ecclesiastes 4 continues by saying the following. I have to make sure the page turns here. Then I looked, again at all the acts of oppression which were being done under the sun, and behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and that they had no one to comfort them. And on the side of their oppressors was power, but they had no one to comfort them. So I congratulated the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still living. But better off than both of them is the one who never existed, who has never seen the evil activity that is done under the sun. And I'm not going to read any more of this because this didn't quite end the way that I expected. But I did want to make a point. And my point is that in verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 3:8, it says here, a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. As I have written through Ecclesiastes chapter 3 the last couple of weeks, I counted that when Solomon said that there was a time to love, it's the 25th thing that he noted. It wasn't the first thing that he noted. It was the 25th thing in a row that he noted in this chapter. He said it after a time to speak, and he said it before a time to hate. And, you know, it's interesting because the word love there in the Hebrew means exactly what we all use it for. It means to love mankind, to love each other, and it also means for God to love us and for us to love God. It's an all-encompassing love that God has given us. And that is what you've given me, and I hope that I have given you this. So I will end this show today with joy in my heart, knowing that I serve God the way that He called me to for this time, and knowing and believing with all my heart that He's called me now to coach people and encourage people, continuing to encourage them through writing and through our new show, which will air sometime next year. I want to encourage you to get on my email list. Go over to hearttug.org, HEARTTUG.org. Don't forget, you can download our mobile app. As far as I know, we're going to still have that up and running as long as we continue to have enough support to keep it up. And we will continue the ministry that God has called us to bring healing to the broken hearts, encouragement to those who are weary. I believe the Lord has raised up new people to do what we were doing for almost 20 years. And I would just ask that you would keep us in prayer as the Lord continues to guide me and you, and that you stay in touch with me, because you know what? You're my family, and we're going to be spending eternity together. And those of you who may be listening who are not yet part of the family, my hope and prayer is that you become a part so that we can be spending eternity with you, because you know what? God loves you. Jesus loves you. The most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. I pray that that would be you, and I'll see you in heaven. Love you all. Thank you for the memories.